It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host...
Joe Shearer?
See.
And Chris Lloyd?
Right, thank you very much, Kobe Slagle. It is Film Me Up Radio, better known as Film Sociology, sans Matthew Soze. I'm Joe Shearer. Over there is Christopher Lloyd. Chris, to those of us who know and love him.
Personally, I've changed my name. It's now Christopher, I've seen Spider-Man and you haven't, Lloyd.
Ooh,
thank you very much. Yes, that is a fact. He has and I have not.
Not you specifically, but the world.
Absolutely.
All y'all is out there. You ain't seen it.
Absolutely. Well, there's a large segment of the fanboy community who would go, so? I'm not one of those people. I envy you quite a bit right at this moment. But, yeah, we're not going to actually talk that much about Spider-Man. That should hopefully be the extent of the Spider-Man talk for today, although that disappoints me.
Yes, you'll have to come back next week when Matthew Soze will return from his secret special mission, and he'll be here to tell you all about Spider-Man.
He's on his, I think he said, 715th consecutive viewing of The Room, dating back to last week. So he's just stuck in an endless loop. We're calling in the authorities, and if you've ever seen Hoarders, maybe you kind of know what is in his future. Hopefully he'll be straightened out by the end of the week next week so he can come back and talk to you all about whatever movie has come out next week, Spider-Man and others. But this week we have a very full slate and very few of which we have actually seen, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's going to be a good show.
It's kind of a...
Stay with us.
Yeah. stick with us here. We have insightful things to say about these movies we haven't seen.
Yes, exactly. Unfortunately, it's kind of the doldrums of summer movie season. It's kind of that in-between with Spider-Man coming out next week. Mm-hmm. No one wants to come out right before it, so it's kind of lower-tier movies releases mm-hmm. that maybe you've heard of and maybe you haven't. Because I know all you Chris Pine fans out there have been just dying to see people like us.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Is that what they're calling Star Trek II these days?
People like us.
And then... I'm assuming we'll run into the same thing in a couple weeks before Batman.
Yes.
Yeah, so Batman is, what, July 20th?
Yeah.
So about, was that 4 weeks out now, something like that?
Yeah, three to four, yeah.
Three to four, depending on how you count it.
Pending Wednesday releases.
Depending on whether or not you can divide seven.
Yeah. So I think we're going to jump into the first big release, right? The big one, the one we have seen. Well, I haven't seen it. You have seen it.
Yes.
We're really on top of it this week, by the way. That's a new comedy from Seth MacFarlane, who does The Family Guy, lots of Comedy Central roasts, and various other things.
He's the Family Guy.
Yeah, he does American Dad, too, right? All those shows associated
with it. And The Cleveland Show, or I think he's like, you know, exec producer and just does a voice on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's all he does anyway.
He doesn't have anything to do with Bob's Burgers, does he? Or does he have a producer credit on that, too?
I don't think so. I love Bob's Burgers, though.
Yeah. Really?
Anyway, the movie stars Mark Wahlberg and Mila Kunis. Is that how you say her name?
Yes.
She's extremely attractive.
The Family Guy.
She's extremely attractive. And the movie is called Ted. We have a trailer.
Yes, we do. Let's take a listen.
Let's hear it.
It has been said that magic vanished from our world a long time ago. But if there's one thing you can be sure of,
I wish you could really talk to me.
It's that nothing is more powerful than a young boy's wish.
You're my best friend, John. I love you.
But eventually, everyone grows up.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's warm-hearted.
A
taking Laurie to dinner. You don't think she's going to be expecting something big, do you?
It's been 4 years, Johnny. You and me have been together for 27 years. Where's my ring? Huh? Where's my ring?
Put it on my squashy finger. Where's my ring? Come on.
Knock it off.
All right, I'm just saying.
Man.
That's my bad. I was sending a tweet.
John.
Hi, Thomas. How are you?
If you please ask Ted to move out so we can move on with our lives.
I'm not that psyched to just, like, kick him out.
Oh.
Laurie, hey, you're home early.
Who are these girls?
Oh, my God, where are my manners? Laurie, this is Angelique, Heavenly, Shireen, and Sauvignon Blanc. I swear to God, her name is Sauvignon Blanc. Show her your Chevron card.
Ted, you gotta move out. Now, I'll help you get on your feet out there, I promise.
Bring it in, you bastard. Come on.
I love you.
Sorry, that's the thing.
The old...
Yeah, I know.
I met a girl.
Nice.
She's a cashier.
You know what I like to do to her? Something I call a dirty fuzzy.
Down here, not looking up your towel, swear to God, not looking at your funny business.
Sometimes I think back to that Christmas morning when I was 8 years old. I wish I'd just gotten a Teddy Ruxpin.
Why are you crying?
My junk gets squished by the TV.
I look stupid.
No, you don't. You look dapper.
John, I look like something you give to your kid when you tell him grandma died.
So Ted stars Peter Griffin as Ted and Meg as whatever Mila Kunis' name is in this movie.
It's basically, yeah, they just took the Family Guy crew. They wish they had the Film Yap crew.
Yeah, that would have been a much better movie.
The Family Guy crew and just sort of said, hey, let's make a movie. And to their credit, you know, most people when they do this, like the South Park guys or the Simpsons people on TV, mm-hmm. they just say, we'll just make a movie version of our show. It'll be longer. It'll be, you know, R-rated. And, you know, we can do all the things we can't do on TV and that's it. Mm-hmm. So I give McFarlane et al. You know, credit for at least trying to say, hey, we're going to do an original story. Mm-hmm. But it's the same basic, you know, humor, you know, lots of one-offs and asides. And unfortunately, those throwaway jokes, so to speak, end up being a lot funnier than the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
Certainly the main plot is not that great. And you are right that... that Ted, the CGI created live teddy bear there, sounds exactly like Peter Griffin with a little bit of a ladling of clam chowder accent from Beantown.
Okay, so the story basically, if I have the plot right, Mark Wahlberg's character as a little boy makes a wish that causes his pet teddy bear to come to life, and now years later it is still alive.
Right.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be a joke, so it's like almost 30 years later, and he obviously was a big deal when it goes on the Carson show, and they did like some very clever editing, so it looks like Teddy is on the Carson show back when it was actually the Carson show.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as one of their throwaway jokes is like, and as things go for everyone, whether you're Corey Feldman or, names all these, has-been celebrities, eventually you're just a former celebrity and who nobody gives a bleep about.
Yeah.
So now he's just like this guy walking around and, people like want to take his picture and annoy him, but he doesn't, he has no money and he just, crashes out on the couch and smokes weed and plays Xbox.
So I guess the burning question is, how is it?
It is up and down, and so the ups are way up and the downs are way down. I think I tweeted my best take on it, which I wish I'd actually included in the review, which was Ted contains about 12 to 15 minutes of some of the funniest comedy I've seen in any movie this year. Mm-hmm. The challenge is see if you can stand the other 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. Because it is just a real slog. When they get into all this, touchy-feely stuff, and it's the whole, you can guess the conflict is, the girlfriend wants him to grow up and get a real job and get married with her, and he just wants to hang out and, do bong hits with Ted. And all that stuff just, it just goes on and on, and you're the whole, make a choice, and eventually you know what the choice is going to be, and, boy, just waiting around for the movie to catch up, that stuff is just death.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Something definitely for Family Guy fans.
Definitely. And I will not, I laughed my rear end off during the really good stuff. There's one part at the beginning where Ted does an impression of Boston women in an excited state. And I mean, you know, if I had been drinking a Coke, it would have been blown out of my nose. Mm-hmm. I was laughing that hard, and there was a really long, funny segment, probably the funniest duration stretch of the movie, where they do kind of this. They kind of borrow the Neil Patrick Harris bit from the Harold and Kumar movies, where they take a real celebrity, mm-hmm. and, you know, have him portray a crude, hard-partying version of himself. And they do this with Sam Jones, mm-hmm. who, of course, played Flash Gordon in the Flash Gordon movie from the early 80s. And that whole bit is really funny. But
So it's topical, right?
Yeah. But you take away, you know, the Beantown thing, you take away the Sam Jones part, and, you know, 6 to 8 other really funny throwaway jokes, and, boy, it's hard to get through. So, feast or famine with a whole lot of famine.
Yeah.
This is, Joe, I'm going to use one of your classic responses here.
It's dumb.
Thank you very much.
I forget what you said that about.
Probably anything. It doesn't matter. insert movie title there.
Joe hates everything.
No. That's what I'm told. So, what is next? What else is out this week? Is there anything worth seeing?
There's actually a number. And unfortunately, I actually had Kobe pull a bunch of clips from these things, thinking we would have some other guest hosts on here with us who have seen this movie and reviewed. Unfortunately, for various purposes, they had to drop out. So... I thought we should play at least one. We got to play Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Because it appears to be, other than Ted, the big movie released this week. And I'll tell a little story that I was telling to the guys here that we did before we went on the air, which was that, so I was at Spider-Man at a theater that shall not be named at 11 a.m. And it was just crammed with people. All these people lined up getting popcorn, getting tickets. And I thought this was a press-only screening for Spider-Man. So I'm like, I go to the rep and I was like, I thought this was just for Spider-Man. They're like, oh no, the theater's actually open. All those people are here to see Magic Mike. I said, what? So if you don't know, it's the male stripper movie starring a whole bunch of beefcakes and former beefcakes. Mm-hmm. Channing Tatum. Mm-hmm. Who else is in it?
Matthew McConaughey. Joe Mangiello from True Blood.
Yeah. Alex Pettifer. So all these guys who are basically sort of, you know, sex symbols, mm-hmm. of varying degrees. And basically the movie is just, we will have a butt fest involving these guys because mm-hmm. they're going to take their clothes
also
off.
Also directed by Steven Soderbergh. So
directed by Steven Soderbergh, more, really. Which of course means, you know, there's the inevitable dark and dreary phase where we see the gritty underside of male stripping.
Yeah.
Like, I think the part of male stripping that no one really wants to see is the male stripping part.
Yeah.
Apparently, except for all the people
except
who are at the theater.
Except for every single person who went to see it.
Yes, apparently, except for everyone from us. So that's Magic Mike with that gang is out there. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen it, but obviously somebody wants to see it. Why don't we just jump through a couple of these others that are coming out that we know less about. This one here, I just love saying the title, Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Tyler Perry, /S, Madea, /S,
showing
Witness Protection.
Mm-hmm. So more Tyler Perry owns Madea. Madea owns the witness protection.
Yeah. And apparently, you know, the punctuation police were not working when they decided.
Yeah.
What can I say? It's Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry screened his first movie for critics, got wasted by them, and has not screened any of his movies since. I think it's a Madea movie. You know what you're going to get. You're seeing a great big 6.5 foot tall black man mm-hmm. acting really strangely and outrageous as a faux elderly woman.
Yeah. And you left out one part about that little list there of things you were saying. In between not being screened for press, they also made truckloads of money.
Yes. Well, they make money, but they make about $40, $45, $50 million dollars. You know, they cost about $15 million to make, so they're it's sort of like a guaranteed profit margin.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there you go. Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection's excuse for living. Yeah. Then we've got Where Do We Go Now, which is a foreign film about Lebanese women, and I believe we actually have a clip of that one.
Yes, we do.
اجتماع تشاور
بخصوص هذه الفلطامه اللي عم تعملوها.
If I
beer.
How about one?
لأنه متخلع بس مش هالقد إنه زايدينه كمان.
أو هن المعجوقين فيهم ومطحوطين هالفحطة. أو هن كأنه جايين من بلاد المجاعة.
بطت إجري أنا بتفصل ثلاثة من عائلتهم.
Нарежешь, прожаришь, начинишь и запаришь, помесишь, покрутишь, тут подсыпешь. Ела.
So this was not a sequel to an Ice Cube movie.
No. Yeah. It's about Lebanese women who are working to ease tensions between their Christian and Muslim communities.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that's all we really know about it, other than obviously it's a foreign film with foreignness.
And they didn't show it to us.
Let's see. So we've hit them all there. Oh, we should mention Your Sister's Sister, which stars Emily Blunt, Mark Duplass, and Rosemary DeWitt. Mm-hmm. Twisted company, comedy about complicated relationships here. And basically, it's... a guy and a woman are involved, and the woman's sister is a lesbian, and then suddenly there becomes more involvement. Hmm. Seems like it's kind of in that indie movie Mumblecore with Mark Duplass. That guy's everywhere lately.
He is. Is he breaking away from his brother a bit, doing more acting?
I guess he's the handsome Duplass, so he gets to actually act in some movies.
Yeah. I'm still a big fan of their movie Baghead. If you've never seen it,
I've heard good things about.
Yeah, love
so Your Sister's Sister is the last one. Finally, the last movie that which we actually have seen is the drama, I guess you'd call it. There's a few funny moments.
The weepy.
Sad, romantic, weepy People Like Us, starring Chris Pine and Elizabeth Banks as a sort of rascally guy whose father dies, and instead of leaving him anything good, he leaves him a bag full of $150,000 with the instructions to deliver it to some strange woman and her son, which turns out to be his sister that he never knew he had. Oh. I think we've got a clip from that one.
Let's take a listen.
So, I hear you closed the deal.
What's that in commission, about $80,000?
$84,000.
$84,000? That should just about cover your debt.
No, don't do that to me. Jim, that's my year. That's my nut, man.
It is not yours.
Jim, I need this money.
My son blew up a pool at school today.
Sam, I'd like to talk to you about your father's estate.
He left you this.
Your shaving kit.
$150,000.
I'm supposed to give to some woman and kid I've never even met?
Record producer Jerry Harper is survived by his wife and son. It's official. I don't exist.
Hi, I'm Sam.
Frankie.
She has my father's eyes and his nose.
I don't understand. You don't have any sisters.
I do now.
Hey, Frankie.
Can I get you something that they sell here?
I swear to you on my life, I will never hit on you. Ever.
Wow, thank you. I'm sure that was meant to reassure me.
You seem like a really great person. The kid's really lucky to have you.
My last image of my dad are taillights while he drove away to his other family.
Mom, you know, you grew up without a father.
It was his choice.
I can't tell her who I am. I am buried in debt. Buried.
Why don't I know anything about you?
My father, he always said, lean into it.
What does that mean?
It means that the outcome doesn't matter. What matters is that you were there for it. Whatever it is. Good or bad. Kind of like right now.
Did you tell her everything you know?
I don't know how.
Maybe we could both start trying to be...
be people.
All right, so that was People Like Us, which I think you got the flavor from that little clip there. Definitely a weepy movie, a tearjerker, so to speak.
Soul-searching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uplifting.
I will say that, you know, I am comfortable in my manhood, and I am good with chick flicks that are good. Mm-hmm. I don't mind romantic movies. I don't mind tearjerkers as long as they're done well. You know, the performances are spot on and everything like that. The problem with this tearjerker is that my tears were not jerked. Mm-hmm. I never connected with these characters. I felt no sadness or really any kind of strong emotion for them. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Banks, I thought, was fairly effective in her role as this Hollywood... Here's a Hollywood construction, if ever you heard one. She's an alcoholic who works as a bartender.
So she's recovering, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
recovering alcoholic who works as a bartender.
In the mold of Sam Malone.
Yeah.
From Cheers.
I guess that's supposed to be the case. Yeah. But she's, you know, she does a good job of, like, sort of showing the front that her character puts on, the strong, brassy woman that she shows to the rest of the world, and underneath that she's really frightened and vulnerable and worried that she's being, you know, a terrible mother. And that was good stuff. I can't say as I thought too much of Chris Pine. I heard several people after the screening saying he was basically sort of channeling the Tom Cruise character from Rain Man. Or really, it's kind of an archetype, you know, the rascally bandit kind of guy who's always looking for a score, but then he finds something in his life through happenstance to, you know, make him care. Okay. And I've seen that role a lot. I've seen movies like this a lot, and it just really didn't do anything for me. I do think that the kid, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, playing Elizabeth Banks' son was really good. If there's a reason to go see this movie, it's probably him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this was, I believe, was written and directed by the Orky Kurtzman team, Roberto Orky and his Alex Kurtzman, who've done a lot of stuff. They did Transformers. They've done a lot of big-time blockbuster movies. They've taken kind of a lot of flack and... at the same time, I think they've written a couple of pretty decent movies as well, but first time behind whichever one it was that actually jumped into the chair to direct. So not the greatest debut in that
Now, Michael Diodaro, that's the name of the kid in the movie.
Okay, good.
Just look that up.
Good.
All right, well, I think that's it for new movies, of which we saw and reviewed 1/3. So not too bad.
1 out of 3 ain't bad.
1 out of 3 have I.
Also, if you are not planning on seeing a new movie out this week, you might want to check out tonight at the IMA, 9:30. They are showing Big.
Uh-huh.
And then again, this weekend at Keystone Landmarks, the midnight movies, they are showing Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should talk about Big before we go to the video store, just because I know the IMA recruited an awesome guest blogger to write about Big.
Yes. Really, really great one. Yeah. That's yours truly. They have asked Chris and I and I believe a couple other people.
Well, I really like what you did because, you know, you didn't approach it like as, you know, like an academic thing or a review. You talked about what the movie meant to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the anecdote from your dad, which, if you don't mind sharing.
Sure, yeah. I saw that opening weekend, I think, maybe even the first day, the Friday it came out, with my dad. It was 88. I was probably 11. I think I was 11 years old. And I have no idea to this day whether he heard this on the radio or whether he just came up with it himself. But we walked out of the movie and he says, you know, that scene on the piano is going to be one of the great, you know, scenes of, you know, of, you know, one of those magical things they show in montages at the Academy Awards. And for some reason that just stuck with me. And every time I see that, I think about him saying that. And I even, as I mentioned in the blog, if you go to the IMA's website and go to blogs and under film, it should be there. Of course, following yours from last week on Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, I showed my kids that movie recently, and I told them, this is one of the great, you know, scenes of all time. Watch how cool it is when they're playing on the piano. And they absolutely love that movie. The way, I mean, I was a bit older than they are now, but it's a really great movie about growing up, but about keeping that kid inside of you, even as an adult. So that's even a movie that I kind of say even pushes me on a daily basis to kind of keep the youthfulness, even as I'm an adult and I'm raising my kids. And
one of those movies that really bears rewatching reveals new things every time you see it. Oh, also notable, and really was the first movie that people stood up and looked at Tom Hanks and said, this guy could be something else. I believe that was his first Academy Award nomination for a comedy, which generally does not get recognized by the Oscars.
Yeah.
And of course, from there, you know, he springboarded into Philadelphia and Forrest Gump. And, you know, now people think of Tom Hanks. When they think of Tom Hanks, they think of him as a serious dramatic actor.
Yeah.
And it's funny that, you know, this wonderful, lovely comedy Big is what really started him down that path.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, as I said, kind of a metaphor for his career. I don't want to jump into it too much. If you want to, you know, read my thoughts exactly, jump to the site and
Wasn't this Penny Marshall movie?
Yeah, I think it was.
What happened to her career?
She did A League of Their Own after that, and then she kind of...
Okay, what's happened to her career in the last 20 years?
I think after that she...
I'll do some web-based research.
Yes, let's do that.
She had this really, you know, ostentatious debut with these great movies. Mm-hmm. Didn't she also do the one with the serious movie with Robert De Niro and Robin Williams?
Yeah, was it Awakenings?
Awakenings, yeah. You know, terrific movie. And then just, I really haven't seen, has she even made anything over the last 10 years? I'm not sure if she has.
Yeah, I don't know. She's kind of...
Looks like a lot of TV.
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah. Of course, she started on Laverne and Shirley way back in the day. She's done a little bit of acting here and there.
We want you back, Penny.
Yeah. Make some good movies for us.
Looks like she's in Portlandia.
Yeah.
Let's go with Big Part 2.
Yeah. All right. On that note, you're watching Film Sociology, a.k.a. the Film Yap Radio, here on WFYI HD to the Point. Why don't we take a little break, and we'll be back opening the video store.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
All right, so Jay and Randall and Dante opened up the video store.
Wesley Willis.
Yeah, all those people.
They busted in. They jiggered the log.
Yeah. So... decent selection of new videos this week.
Actually, yeah, quite good. June has in general been a pretty high profile releases, because you're now seeing some high profile releases from late last year along with some higher profile ones from early in this year coming out. And then we get to July, where the video store is just, you know, barren wasteland of tumbleweeds. Yeah. It's really pretty awful.
People are going after dead-end drive-in for the third time.
Right, let me tell you how bad it is. For next week's video column, I'm writing about the 10th anniversary edition of Treasure Planet. Because that's all there was to write about.
let's concentrate on this week then, shall we? There's the big one, I guess, if you want to call it the big one.
Yes.
Best picture winner, best actor, did it win director also?
Yep. Dog.
Yeah, the best dog. And that's the silent film. You're going to listen to the trailer here in just a minute, and it's Spectacular Radio.
I'm very curious to listen to this. How do you a trailer for a silent film? Is it just music?
We're going
to
find out.
All right.
It is called The Artist. It's directed by Michel Hazanavicius.
Is it Hazanavicius?
And there's very little talking.
But it's done silently with title cards.
Yes, yes. And lots of monochromatic or bichromatic? Black and white. Black and white. Let's listen to the trailer. There you go, Best Picture winner. In case you didn't catch that, what that was about based on the trailer. it was about
razzmatazz music.
It's about an actor and I.
Set about 1930, and it's basically the same story as Singing in the Rain. It's Hollywood during the changeover from silent films to sound, and one guy who does not fare so well with that transition.
Like we said, Best Picture and all that stuff. The Indiana Film Journalists Association, we voted it Best Picture of the Year. I personally am not a huge fan. I think it's a little gimmicky with the silentness and the black and whiteness, and it didn't grab me all that much, to tell you the truth. Y'all love it, so
y'all,
I love it when a movie grabs me frequently and strategically.
And slowly. So anyway, Chris, take it away. You're the lover of this film, so go for it. What's so good about it?
It's a wonderful movie. It's French, and it's silent, and it's black and white, but it is not an art film, and I say that with, you know, some temperance, because I know I love art films, but some people, you know, they get turned off by that phrase.
That's a...
It's also an art film.
There you go.
And we should mention, as you did in your review, your video review at least this week, a French film shot largely in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was shot in Los Angeles and actually has, you know, John Goodman and Malcolm McDowell and some other recognizable, well, not American because Malcolm McDowell is a Brit, but people y'all would recognize.
Yeah.
But the cast, the director, you know, it's all mainly French folks. And this is really a love letter. It's a love letter to silent American film as seen from across the Atlantic Ocean. It's wonderful. It's transportive. It's emotional. It's just a terrific movie. It's self-aware but not self-absorbed. It was the only film I gave my top rating to last year. So
yeah, and I should say what's his name? Jean Desjardins. He speaks with an accent. I had a lot of trouble understanding him in the film. So just be aware of that. Hopefully you can interpret
when you're reading his little words that are printed on the stage. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's The Artist. Definitely one to check out.
Yes.
You know, we get review copies of these movies on video. Some, not all that we would like, but I'm notorious for keep virtually none of them, just because, you know, we just don't need them. And
they stack up very quickly.
They stack up very quickly if you don't. The Artist, I am keeping. Yeah. That's a keeper. And I literally keep maybe three a year. So there's one down.
There you have.
Next, we should talk 21 Jump Street. I think this was one that you enjoyed.
I did. Yeah, I just saw that this week. I really was not a huge fan of the show growing up. I may have seen it a couple times. Of course, Johnny Depp was in the original show. Richard Grieco, Peter DeLuise, and Holly Robinson, later to become Holly Robinson Pete. The remake stars Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum. And
he's everywhere.
He is. He's Channing Tatum. He takes off his shirt and everyone squeals. There's a really kind of fun bit on that little piece of work in this film. And Ice Cube also was in it.
Ice Cube's the best part.
He is. He really is. So let's take a listen to 21 Jump Street.
Not so Slim Shady.
What's up, dude?
I haven't seen you since high school.
Hey, Titty Twister!
Stop!
Oh!
You hate this, huh?
Yeah.
Test results, gentlemen.
Such bull. You're really good at this.
Yeah.
Hey, you wanna be friends?
Yeah, I do.
You're ready for a lifetime of being badasses.
Oh, I am. I thought this job would have more car chases than explosions.
You're dead.
Yours isn't loaded, right?
Nah, that's no fun.
What's up, Chief?
Got our first bust.
Yeah, I got him! Yes! Yes!
You forgot to read him his Miranda rights. Do you even know the Miranda rights?
Look, it obviously starts with, do you have the right to remain an attorney?
Did you say you have the right to be an attorney?
You do have the right to be an attorney if you want to.
We're reviving a canceled undercover program from the 80s.
Where do we report to?
Down on Jump Street. 21 Jump Street.
You are here because you some Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus looking mugs. You will be going in as undercover high school students.
You have exceptional muscle tone there, young man. When'd you go through puberty? Like at 7 or something?
There's a new synthetic drug at Sagan High. The mission is find a supplier.
I think the dealers are the popular kids.
We should throw a party. That would be the quickest way to get in with them.
Come on, let's go.
Don't give nobody no drugs, no alcohol.
I promise you, we'll be super professional.
All I do is party.
Take it here so I know you're cool.
Have fun.
Are you guys on drugs? I don't like that. Put your tongue back in your mouth.
A lot of things that made me wonder about you. Your taste in music. The fact that you look like a 40-year-old man.
Let me check out your chest. Check out your test.
After what you pulled yesterday, there's no way you could be cops, right?
Will you go to prom with me? That was crazy! Oh, when did I get stabbed? That's awesome! Yeah! Why do you always jump across the car like that?
Because it looks cool. You try. You okay?
I think I crapped my pants.
There you have it. Now there's a lot of, I don't know how much conjecture there is around 21 Jump Street, but let's make this clear. This is a sequel to the TV show. They're very clear early on. They say this is a revived program from the 80s, and a couple of other little minor things that kind of hint that this is more of a sequel than anything. Again, Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum are two police officers who went to high school together. They were not friends in high school. Channing Tatum was the cool guy. Jonah Hill was the nerd. This not so Slim Shady, as he calls him in the trailer that you just heard. They go to the police academy together, become buddies, and then they are terrible cops. So they get put on this old beat, undercover, infiltrating high school, looking for drugs that kill the students who are taking them. To me, this movie was just a big surprise. I was expecting this to be a total train wreck. I was not really looking forward to even seeing it. I'm not a particularly big fan of Channing Tatum. I think maybe a couple of the little sound bites, Kobe, you pull out for me are in reference to Channing Tatum. But he's sort of a surprise in this. He's very likable. He's very good. There's a nice, as I mentioned, a nice bit about his attractiveness. Everyone who comes across him, every single woman who meets him instantly wants to sleep with him or they're flirting with him. It's you know, just a lot of great moments. There's a car chase where the bad guys are chasing the cops. Just a lot of little bits like that. Of course, as they infiltrate the high school, they end up kind of switching the roles. Jonah Hill kind of becomes the cool guy.
Yep.
Channing Tatum becomes kind of the nerd, and they both embrace this role. and they it causes a little bit of friction between the two of them. Chris, you did see this. What were your thoughts on it?
It was kind of up and down. There were definitely some funny parts, but there are long stretches where I was, you know, like, come on, guys, let's move it along. So I was not as enthusiastic as you.
There was one bit later on, the kind of the inevitable meltdown between the two of them that I thought was kind of contrived and it was just kind of there to service the plot. But the rest of the film was, to me, was hysterically funny. There just a lot of little plays on, you know, conventions of the buddy cop genre. A lot of things. There's a bit where they the guys during a chase scene are continually waiting for things to explode,
and then that's good.
And they keep looking at each other. You know, it's building up to the giant explosion and then nothing. So
yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, it's of course we mentioned Ice Cube.
I want to watch it now.
I'll tell you the truth. I've watched it twice this week. I watched it with a couple of friends, and I did enjoy it even more the second time. Ice Cube is in it. You may have heard his voice if we didn't.
Oh,
I think we didn't
man.
Mention him. He plays their captain at the Aroma of Christ Church, which is the Korean church, and of course there's reference to Korean Jesus on a couple of different occasions. That's their hideout, basically the headquarters. Chris, as you said off air, why do they need a secret undercover hideout, you know, for a police organization? But hey, you know. So anyway, what do we think about this?
Now that was a good movie.
Brilliant.
All right, we should mention Wrath of the Titans, the sequel to Clash of the Titans, the remake of Clash of the Titans.
It's the sequel to the remake.
Yep. I don't think we're going to play a clip of that one, but I think you pretty much know what it's all about. Perseus, the demigod hero, is back to kick some butt and
stab
they're
things.
They're releasing some big beastie. We got to stop them from releasing the beastie, and it's just kind of a retread of the old stuff. The big thing is his father Zeus gets captured, so he has to go save the all powerful father figure, and Hades, the character of Hades, played by Ralph Fiennes, kind of a little bit of a redemptive thing going on.
Yeah,
it's not a bad movie. It's certainly engaging and moves things along. The last movie was sort of, you know, had no reason for existing, but at least it was entertaining. Mm-hmm. And this one is slightly less entertaining.
I will say I tried to watch this earlier in the week, maybe even last weekend. We, as you said, we have advanced copies of some of these movies. I just couldn't bring myself to care about it enough to even sit through it.
Yeah.
I was maybe a little bit distracted, but it, from what I saw, it did nothing to engage me. So I might give it another shot to try to finish it out. But yeah, it's, you know, if you see it and you love it, you know, good for you. If not, you know, if you're with us,
we are colossally indifferent to this movie.
And I feel very strongly about that.
Yep.
So moving on, what's next?
I think we'll mention 1,000 Words. Yes, that's right. A movie starring Eddie Murphy. Remember when anyone cared when an Eddie Murphy movie came out? Apparently, there aren't any of those people left anymore.
No, the sequel.
Are you even aware that Eddie Murphy had a movie that came out this year called 1,000 Words?
I do remember hearing about that, but I had no idea it was coming out on video. I was going to say the sequel to that maybe will be 1,000 Yawns.
Oh. And the last one coming out on video this week we should mention is Mirror, Mirror, the first of two Snow White adaptations to come out this year. This one, I believe, was written by a Hoosier.
Yeah, Jason Keller. Yeah.
Jason Keller wrote the screenplay, so I believe we've got a clip of that one to play. Mirror, Mirror.
Once upon a time, in an enchanted kingdom, there was a beautiful princess. With skin as white as snow and hair as black as night.
Blah, blah, blah.
Her hair is not black, it's raven, and she's 18 years old, and her skin has never seen the sun, so of course it's good.
This spring.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all?
Snow White.
What?
What?
Snow White.
Ugh.
A classic tale.
Do you want to hear it?
Gets a new wrinkle.
They're not wrinkles. They're just crinkles.
Banish her to the woods. Is it done?
Just as you instructed.
I'm impressed. You're not as pathetic and wimpy as I have always believed.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
You're invited to discover.
The prince is rich. I'm going to marry him, and then my financial problems will be solved.
an untold adventure.
Organize a ball. We are going to sweep this kid off his feet.
Of romance.
I think Snow White is the most beautiful woman in the whole world.
Agree to disagree.
Mystery.
Who are you?
Snow White.
Snow who?
No way!
Power.
This doesn't fit.
Well, you must have shrunk it, cinch me up.
I knew I was the same size.
And magic.
I'll use the love potion.
Puppy love. What am I supposed to do with a puppy?
You can rub my tummy.
Fetch!
The queen is getting married.
Take back your kingdom.
I read so many stories where the prince saves the princess. It's time we change that ending.
You're with the bandits?
You're with the queen!
Should we help her?
She's doing pretty good on her own.
If you weren't trying to stab me right now, I might be tempted to kiss you.
The bandit's leader is a she.
Bandit's leader is Snow White.
Who feels like crashing a wedding?
Here I was having such a good day. Everyone has magic within them.
Yes.
I definitely have a happily ever after thing going on.
Mirror, mirror.
Anyone know how to break a spell?
Say hello to my little friend.
Yeah! Experience the untold adventures of Snow White.
These references are funny, especially when done by little people.
Yeah, in a family film. But as we said, written by Jason Keller, a Hoosier native. I actually interviewed him, and we talked about this a little bit. If you go to thefillmeup.com, I think if you type in Jason Keller, you can see some of the text of that interview. This film stars Julia Roberts as the Evil Queen. Does she have a name in this film beyond the Evil Queen?
I'm not sure if she does.
Is it Lily Allen, or is she the singer?
Lily Allen's a singer.
Yeah, Lily somebody. There's a girl named Lily who plays Snow White. Plays Snow.
Looks like a genetic experiment offshoot of Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah, and
very pixie-ish.
And Armie Hammer, who is probably best known as The Social Network. He is the would-be Batman from George Miller's torpedo Justice League movie a few years back.
You're thinking of Lily Collins.
Lily Collins, Collins, that's right. Not Lynn Collins from John Carter.
There you go.
Lily Collins. As I said, Armie Hammer plays the prince guy, whatever his name.
Prince Alcott, and Julie Roberts as the queen.
The queen, yeah.
And obviously you can hear from the clip there, this is supposed to be the funny, whimsical, slightly comedic version of Snow White. But I really wanted to like this movie because it seemed like it had a really light touch and was, but it, some things just go sideways. Like the whole Armie Hammer character, who's playing the sort of pompous, he's doing a very pompous shtick as the prince, and it's supposed to be funny and isn't really. Probably the most successful part is Julia Roberts as the queen, because she's doing like this very self-mocking thing. Even makes like jokes about like getting old and things like that you don't really see a big star like Julia Roberts usually do. But it's one of those ones where it's like it had lots of nice ingredients, but they just never kind of really came together into a coherent meal.
Yeah, I did mention when as we were listening to the trailer, I was a little creeped out by the way Armie Hammer's prince said, "You can rub my tummy."
Yeah,
a little creepy for a family film as this is touted to be, but
yeah, and obviously contrasting it with Snow White and the Huntsman, which is the dark and gritty and dirty and
better.
Yeah,
I would say better, although it's a little has its own problems. Charlize Theron as the Evil Queen is fantastic in Snow White and the Huntsman,
and also still not for one moment in time do I believe Kristen Stewart is fairer than Charlize Theron. Not even a little bit. Not even if you look at him in a certain way with the light shining on him. No. No.
No.
Not close. Not happening for me.
Yeah, Stewart's got a little bit of a skeevy thing going on.
Yeah, she's very tired and she's a hair flipper.
She's very tired. Yeah. You know, yeah.
She's the girl in high school that flips her hair every 5 seconds. One way, then the other, then back. And forth.
And turns her heads and coughs while presenting an award at the Oscars, which I still, that is just such a funny moment for me.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe you should have like gotten a drink and, you know, cleared your throat before you walked out in front of a billion people.
That was my favorite moment of the Oscars, I think.
Yeah. Well, I believe that's it for the video store. Is that right? We're all closed up?
Do we have a thought on Mirror Mirror, Kobe? Maybe.
It's not hella bad. It's not hella bad.
There you go.
It's a rental. Definitely, you know, if you didn't see it in theaters, you probably spent your money wisely or didn't spend it wisely.
Yeah. All right. So are we done? Do we have any more videos to present?
We're all done with the video store.
I'm going to go buy The Artist.
Go buy it.
I'm going to.
Go buy it twice.
doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
there's a pretty big one this
we
week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes. Fortunately, it's a pretty short list this with somebody you probably haven't heard of. Doris Singleton, American actress, was in a bunch of mid-century comedies, lots of television, My Three Sons and I Love Lucy, died at 92. The big passing this week, and it is a pretty big one, is Nora Ephron, 71-year-old American screenwriter turned director, best known for Sleepless in Seattle and Julia and Julia and When Harry Met Sally. And she died of, I think it was pneumonia, if you can believe it.
Wow.
Really, you know, one of those, you know, obviously, is probably best known as a pioneering female filmmaker, was one of the first women in Hollywood to really get a lot of power in the late 80s, I think, and be able to, you know, sort of pick her projects and do her own thing and sort of be a little bit of an auteur, which a lot of female filmmakers don't ever get to that point.
Yeah.
A lot of really terrific movies we just mentioned there. I as you know, probably ad nauseum, I love Julie and Julia. I just think it's a wonderful movie. Probably my favorite of Nora Ephron's.
Yeah. And she also wrote Silkwood way back in 1983.
I can't remember if she ever won an Oscar. I think she was at least nominated a couple times.
Was she nominated for Silkwood?
Maybe for Harry. I think she was nominated for When Harry Met Sally.
Okay, yeah. She also did one of my favorite kind of... I don't know, fringe-ish kind of comedies from 1990, My Blue Heaven, starring Steve Martin and Rick Moranis. Just a silly movie to me, but just lots of fun. Steve Martin's a gangster, and Moranis is the FBI agent assigned to keep him in witness protection. It's Joan Cusack is also in that, so that's kind of maybe my dark horse title of Nora Ephron's that you should check out if you haven't seen.
We should mention she got her start as a journalist. I think she wrote for the New York Post. Mm-hmm. Got kind of an inauspicious start in the movies. If you ever read William Goldman's book, Adventures in the Screenwriting Trade, he has a whole chapter about All the President's Men, and the way he claims it went down was... Nora Ephron was then the girlfriend of Carl Bernstein, later his wife, then later his ex-wife.
Yeah.
Basically, Bernstein and what's the other guy's name?
Woodward.
Woodward, yeah. The actual guys, not the actors portraying them.
Not Hoffman and Redford.
Didn't like the script that Goldman had written, and Bernstein and Ephron went off on their own without any permission and wrote their own version of the screenplay. And then brought it to Robert Redford, and Redford said, you know, we should do this, and became this whole big, nasty thing. And Goldman basically walked off the project and still ended up winning an Oscar for that movie. But obviously, Nora Ephron went on to better things.
Yeah. So, as Matt would say, a raise of the glass to Nora Ephron.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's going on with the film yet?
What is going on?
Oh, movies and stuff. Not nearly enough advertising. Anyone out there who would like to help us out with that?
We have ad space available. If you want to give us money, we'll tell people about your
I don't think
business.
We're supposed to do that on public radio, ask for ads, I think that's a no-no.
Your donations go a long way.
There you go. But Joe and I thought we would take the last few minutes of this week's show. Matt is back next week.
Thankfully for all of you, right?
Yeah, and we actually will return in July, but in the meantime, we thought this is June 29th. Believe it or not, it will be July, and thus the second half of the year next week. So we thought an excellent time to sort of give out our half-year awards, film movie awards.
More or less, yeah. I was just trying to think of the best films I've seen this year. I said I would probably put, at this point, 21 Jump Street among those films. I really enjoyed it. It was really funny. As I said, I won't say too much more about it. But I mean, I don't know what's out there that's been really great. I would probably put The Avengers at the top of my list right now.
Yeah,
or
Avengers would be either number one or number two for me.
Yeah, it's just a spectacular movie. Summer Fair, of course. If you want to get a little more foo foo, I was a big fan of Moonrise Kingdom. You were not.
Yes, please go to the Film Me Up to read my, I think, epic takedown of
rather scathing review.
Moonrise Kingdom in particular, and Wes Anderson in general.
And then we can throw in your the the flip side of that coin for you is Safety Not Guaranteed, which I did see last weekend.
Also
very
starring
good.
Mark Duplass.
Yeah, yeah.
And Aubrey Plaza, the wicked, smart, sarcastic girl from Parks and Recreation. Recreation. We talk about Parks and Recreation a lot whenever we're on here.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't mention Nick Offerman in 21 Jump Street earlier.
And let's just throw an Aziz Ansari reference just because we like him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, Aziz Ansari makes any movie better. He was even in... what is the Mall Cop movie? Not Paul Blart, the other one. The one with Seth Rogen. The better one. The Taxi Driver of Mall Cop movies, as I think we both have called it.
The one with some horrifying frontal male nudity.
Yes, yes. Very floppy, extended
I'm getting visions just thinking about it.
Yeah, go check out that movie if you haven't seen it, Observe and Report. Safety Not Guaranteed, of course. Did we talk about that last week? The perhaps time travel film, the crazy give me the lesbian and the Indian and I'll get the story, which you succinctly noted would get him fired in any newsroom in the country.
Yeah, but still a wonderful film. One of those films, you know, like the more I think about it and the more I sort of absorb it into my, you know, into my head and my soul, I like it more.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful movie. One of those movies that, you know, isn't trying to necessarily be a comedy or a drama or science fiction. It's just... doesn't care about definitions.
Yeah, and it is all of those things and something else entirely. So that's another one. What do you think, Chris? You've got any that we haven't talked about yet that you really enjoyed?
I can't talk about Spider-Man yet.
Yeah.
Hold on. What am I saying? They lifted the embargo. I can talk about Spider-Man.
Oh, hey.
Do you want me to do an early Spider-Man
review?
Let's
talk about Spider-Man. Exclusive.
Spider-Man is awesome. No, seriously. We won't steal Matt's thunder because I know he wants to review it when he gets back next week. My two cents is I won't be here back next week. It's very good. It takes a long time to get really hit its peak, but once it hits its peak, it's a mile a minute. I liken it to that long first hill on the roller coaster where you just clickety-clack, clickety-clack, clickety-clack. Okay, come on, guys. And it crests that hill, and wow.
Yeah. And I will say the fanboy community has railed against this film. I mean, they've been brutal, not liking the reboot aspect, just kind of going on and on whining about it. They basically want Spider-Man's rights back to Marvel so they can hook up with the Avengers. I say to those fanboys, suck it.
Suck it.
If I'm allowed to say that on the radio. If not, you can bleep me.
Vacuum it strategically.
Might be too late for that, but hey.
I'm trying to think what else is on my list. Honestly, the summer has been disappointing. It started out really strong with the Avengers, and then we had like week after week after week of disappointment. You know, some movies that I had enough worthwhile things about them to recommend, like Prometheus, but also lots of problems.
Mm-hmm. I'd still throw Prometheus on that list for you know, speaking for myself at this point.
What didn't you like about Prometheus?
You should go to thefilmmeapp.com and read and listen to our podcast.
I'm on the internet right now. I'll
epic.
Do that.
We had an epic, like 30-minute long podcast where we hashed it out, and it was 3-1, but it was like 2.5. It was 1.5 against 2.5, something like that.
Yeah, there were some plot. Chris had a problem with some plot holes that I kind of thought we closed some of them up a little bit. There's some teeth gnashing about a little bit about canon, I guess, alien canon.
Yeah.
As to, you know, some of the authenticity of some of the things going on. Some people didn't like it because it was a bit slow.
Yeah.
Liked it for all.
Lots of holes. Like, why does this super advanced race keep their deadly black vial goo that killed them all, like, just stacked up in a corner like it's a janitor's closet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I think to me it raised a lot of questions that they didn't answer, which to me was part of the brilliance of the movie, and kind of leaves things open for additional films, which I think is a good thing in this case. You know, those are the criticisms. I don't share most of them. I really thought it was an excellent film, certainly beautiful to look at. Go see it in theaters in 3D. One of the few times we'll actually recommend 3D.
Yeah. Otherwise, keep your money most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. Eight times out of ten, don't.
Yeah.
In this case, go see it. Go. I would even say spring for the IMAX 3D if you have the money for that kind of thing.
All right.
It's worth it.
Well, that is our show for this week. You are listening to Film Sociology, a film radio show here on WFYI HD To The Point, temporarily turned into Film Yap Radio.
Film Yap Radio.
Matthew Soucy will be back next week. Until then, as he would say, go see a movie.
You deserve it.
We gone.